This is your announcer, Shannon St. Mainframe, welcoming you to our IP livecast. New Yorkers were freaking out because they thought they experienced an earthquake yesterday. It wasn't an earthquake. Vince Neil was just drunk, driving his Zamboni through New York and bumped into a few buildings. Get over it, guys. Our IP livecast starts now.
Oh no! Watch out for the Zamboni!
Yes.
Rampaging Zambonis all over New York.
Are there, like, an influx of Zambonis, an overproduction? Has that ever happened? Too many Zambonis?
Like an invasion?
Not enough NHL arenas to go around.
That'll be a fun hockey horror movie.
Yes. Or a Hari movie.
A Hari. A hockey horror movie starring Hari Krishnas, imagine. Really get all the demos in there.
Green light it.
We're brainstorming movie ideas. It's Saturday morning. Welcome to RIP Livecast. It's Rob here with Sid and 3D Devious Darren Delgado.
Ooh.
Yeah. And we are pleased to be here with you on a Saturday. We're live Saturday mornings, 11-ish Eastern. And till about 12:30 Eastern. You could watch us on YouTube, on Twitch, or download the archive wherever you listen to podcasts. Of course, you could always hang out with us on Discord, our 24/7 chat room with us and fellow livecasters. Go to riplivecast.com for the link. And if you ever want to send us feedback, please let us know. Shoot us an email at riplivecast@gmail.com or follow us on social media at riplivecast. Is that everything? Is that most of it?
For now, I think that's probably good.
We'll do another round of plugs later.
Yeah.
Did you two survive the earthquake? Are your places of residence okay?
Well, of all the people I spoke to, I feel like I experienced it the worst. Everyone was like, "Oh yeah, that was weird," or you know, like that. My apartment was shaking back and forth.
Same.
Oh, I never discussed it with Sid, but yeah.
Yeah.
My cat was freaking the fuck out. My cat ran under the bed immediately. Wouldn't come out for like 20 minutes. And then when he came out, he was all shook and like trying. My cat is not the most affectionate cat. He was like rubbing up on me and like trying to. Very wide eyes and very scared. So it was scary. It was like, I'm not going to say it was like a 9.0 earthquake. Our LA listeners are cracking up right now.
Yeah, they're rolling.
Well, let's say Chirito's on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad did it feel for you guys?
Like 6. It felt like, you know, it felt like if it got any worse than that, it would be dangerous. It wasn't like, oh, I was like, oh shit, what do I do? I better get out of the house or anything like that. That would be the next step. But it wasn't pleasant. It was like, it was very shaky and uncomfortable.
I had like, I don't know if this was mental or physical, but I felt like car sick for like the next couple of hours after it happened.
I can see that. Yeah.
It was fucking weird. And because like I live near a military base, so sometimes they'll have like vehicles or like massive like transport helicopters fly through and it shakes the apartment for like a second or two. So at first I thought that's what was happening. Yeah. But then it didn't stop.
Yeah, it was like 20 to 30 seconds for me.
So you're saying this wasn't an earthquake. It's really some sort of government conspiracy from the army base by your.
I mean, isn't everything?
Yeah. The earth wells, Rob.
At this point, I wouldn't put it past them.
It could be both, Rob. It could be that they engineered an earthquake. You ever think of that?
You're right. They one of their experiments went awry, setting the earth to occur. I was in, not to brag, but I was in jiu-jitsu class. I was in the middle of a spar, and it was pretty funny because at the end of the round, the bell rang because it's timed rounds, and our coach stands up and was like, "Yeah, there was just an earthquake." And we were like, "What? Really?" We were just like rolling around. And he was like, "Yeah, it wasn't that bad, but it was, I felt it." It was like, oh.
By the way, not to go off the earthquake for a second, because I do have a couple more things to say about it. But because you mentioned BJJ, I just wanted to say Rob posted a picture where he looks like Tank Abbott now.
What?
A big, like, beefy guy with definition. He posted a shirtless pic.
Somewhere. Ooh, show it. Show it. Share it on right now, Rob.
He said, body by BJJ. And he's got, like, he's still, like, a heavy guy, but, like, with with like cuts now. He's got cuts.
You're damn right.
But
it was definitely,
and it's
it was
not
after
that
class.
Weird like fat sculpting thing that people are doing now, that plastic surgery to give you the fake six pack.
I can't speak to that aspect of it.
Like I said, body by BJJ Sid.
It was very impressive. It came out of, because I, you know, I don't track Rob's body progress. And so the last time I saw him without a shirt on was probably what, like 2 months ago when he whipped it out on the
on
the show. Maybe more than that. He took his shirt off, and I was like, oh, okay. I did see progress then, too, I will say. But this was like another jump. Just pulling that up
now.
Yeah,
baby. Hold on.
Just going to whip it out.
Those twinks don't know what they're getting into.
Oh, no.
Just. You got it.
Yeah, I got it. Here we go.
Nope.
Need one more second.
No.
Okay. 5 seconds. Okay, there it is. Yeah, here we go.
You son of a bitch!
Yeah, look at all that definition.
How do I like? Look at me. Look at that. Look great. Yeah.
I could see you going down the Ron Jeremy path if you let yourself.
Oh no!
I can't believe I still.
He would have your body frame.
So many different chairs here. Saves.
The Muda. I remember, why did? How did we get onto Muda during that?
I don't even remember.
What is going on? No. But here's the actual photo.
Put another on. Oh, there it is. There we go. Look at that.
Oh, you know what?
I have.
This is very disturbingly similar to the shirtless Geraldo Rivera picture from a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. Let me pull that up. But yeah, this was at the end of a class. I just had a good pump going, and it was like very steamy. Yeah,
that's the episode title, by the way.
And then after class, you had a good pump going.
It's a phrase. It's a phrase. Get over it.
Sid doesn't know how we.
And I was in the changing room, and everybody left the changing room, and I was in the middle of changing, and I. In my periphery caught a glance of myself and I was like, whoa, that's me. I was like, hold on. I look like this. And it was like the first time that I was like, I need to document this.
Yeah. This is Rob saying himself.
Look, I have an ab. An ab. I have one ab. That's huge. It's a huge ab.
Happy for you.
Congratulations, Robert.
So the back to the earthquake, though, I we mentioned like the LA people making fun of us, which is fair, you know, because they have this type of shit every Tuesday. But there is one aspect of it that's different, and you have to acknowledge it. And that's none of our fucking buildings are built to sustain any of this shit. So,
exactly what I thought when it happened.
Like one slightly less mild earthquake than that can knock all of our fucking buildings down. So. Don't laugh too hard because we may be under rubble from something that you might think is a very mild earthquake.
You're right. That's exactly what I thought. Like, my building's old.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the fuck had happened. I thought I'd be on the sidewalk in a second.
Yeah. My building was built in 1930, I think.
Okay. That's even older than mine.
It's crazy. Pre-Hitler.
Well, he was around.
Yeah,
it was like the demo tape era of Hitler.
He was still painting.
Yeah, he was workshopping it all. Did you feel the aftershock when that happened? It's like 6 o'clock.
Nope.
Yeah,
I was in the middle of working. I don't know. Maybe I was just distracted, but I didn't feel anything.
Yeah, I felt that too. It was only like 2 or 3 seconds.
And I heard that was a 4.0.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was 4.8 was the main one.
Yeah.
In case you're wondering, for posterity. Which I know people again are snickering in places where they have real earthquakes, but I felt it.
Yeah.
It was scary.
Always something going on here. Never a dull moment.
Well, speaking of scary.
No. Oh, yes. See, right? Even down to like the foggy mirror reflection.
I didn't need to see his cum gutters. That's if you showed a shirtless pic, I wouldn't quarrel with it. But why do I got to see that?
It's not foggy. It's just blurry because he can't. Like, he took the photo and his hand is shaking as he takes it.
Oh,
but you see, Rob, if you exercise for 30 more years, this is where you'll end up.
Sure, I'll take it.
You take that handlebar mustache too.
He's zooming in on his nipples. Oh, come on, Rob.
There we go, baby.
This is gratuitous.
Narcissism cast.
Woo!
I think there was an earthquake during that Geraldo shot. That's why.
Rob, would you masturbate to a picture of yourself?
No. Oh, please. He's done that.
What?
Doing it right now.
What are you talking about?
You used to always jerk off to that picture of you in that mesh top. Like, what were you when it's Danzig for Halloween? That was your go-to.
I didn't even know what you were talking about until
me
you
too. Oh, I mean.
Good stuff.
I guess you could say it's good stuff. It's WrestleMania week.
Sure is.
And
WrestleMania
40, which is pretty crazy. Wow. Yeah. Darren, you were at the very first WrestleMania.
I sure did.
So how does it feel? What are your memories 40 years later?
I mean, to be honest with you, I'm not going to lie. Like, it's very fuzzy. Like, I remember, I know for a fact that I was there. I don't remember me being in the arena as much. I mean, it's 40 years ago. There's a lot of things I don't really, like, I things that I know that I did, and I vaguely remember the experience, but I can't place myself there. But I know I was very excited. My mother used to take me to MSG basically every month, almost every month, with some exceptions.
For wrestling, or just
for wrestling.
Whatever, okay.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like wrestling brought out, in the audience, when I would go to house shows, my mom took me a few times to the untelevised events with all the stars. And I really found a lot of times that the fun was the people around me, like the marks. Like, you know, I was 10 years old, but there would be like a 35-year-old Mark, a super fan, next to me, and he would be rooting for the heels. I have this very vivid memory, and I remember being so outraged. Like, how could you? What are you talking about? You got to root for Hulk Hogan. How could you be rooting for the Iron Sheik?
Right.
He's like, no, Hulk Hogan is terrible. And, like, I remember getting into an argument with this. Darren, maybe it was you. Maybe he wasn't 35.
Oh, no.
Maybe he was just, maybe he was like, I was 10 and you were 20 and it was us.
That's actually plausible. I could say, I would argue with kids sometimes. But I jokingly, like, I wouldn't be like, you're a fucking idiot, you dumb Mark. I would
it was very much a good fun. Yeah.
I will say, I remember the time that I crossed the Rubicon and started rooting for heels. The first heel that I loved was Ted DiBiase. Just because I was very much, as a young kid, into the
Trumper.
Yeah.
What?
I was into the, I was a big fan of his real estate deals. And no, what? Yeah. The Art of the Deal. I read it cover to cover when I was seven. No, I don't know. When Ted DiBiase debuted, this was the first, like, I think Rob would agree with this. Would you? He was the first heel in WWE that was prominent, that was a great wrestler. I feel like maybe Randy Savage, but Ted DiBiase was on another, like, technical level. And I thought that was so weird, and I thought that was not allowed. I thought the heels had to be, like, you know, fucking Kamala or whatever. And he was just a great wrestler. I loved his matches. And then
with him before WWF?
Like, hearing his name vaguely. That was before I had started, like, getting into other federations and, you know, seriously, like, knowing all about that stuff and trading tapes and all that shit. So I knew of him. I didn't know of his oeuvre, like, his body of work. But, like, when he showed up, oh my God, I was like, this guy. And then I was like, oh, maybe, you know, there's an interesting, wouldn't formulate it in this way. It's my adult brain, but, like, maybe there's something interesting to, like, the heel dynamic of, like, you know, what's their motivation? Like, maybe there's a story here instead of just like bad guy, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He made me really, really start to look at the heels in a different way. He's one of my, still one of my, he's turned up to be a born again Christian weirdo. So it's kind of a bummer.
Well, but. And also a welfare scammer.
Right, right. Yeah, I forgot about right.
He's the ultimate welfare queen.
Was that with Brett Favre or something? Well, he had something yeah. going on with Brett Favre.
Yeah, they both stole from the state welfare fund for.
Has that been resolved yet, or is that trial still pending? Is there going to be a trial?
I believe one of his sons is in jail for it.
Oh, wow.
But like did Brett Favre face any punishment? Did DiBiase himself face any punishment?
I'd have to look it up.
Did he ever send any peen pics like Brett Favre, or was that just Brett doing that? That wasn't part of the scam, right? Sadly, you want to see DiBiase cop?
Well, Ted DiBiase Jr. I wouldn't mind seeing some of his.
Oh, do you find him a child? See, again, this is where your expertise comes in handy, because I would, in my hetero brain, I would look at Ted DiBiase Jr. He looks like a totally nondescript, like not ugly or anything, but just not remarkable. Like that guy's hot, you know. What is it that you like about him? Oh, just handsome.
Handsome guy. Handsome man.
Better than yours?
Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
I don't see him posting no BJ.
Yeah,
maybe Favre got fined mostly. That was his punishment, and he still owes $700,000 in unpaid fines.
Oh. And Ted DiBiase Jr. got fined.
Let's see. What else? How did we get on? Oh, you were talking about heels. I was like, how did we get on? Yeah. Were you a Ric Flair fan at the time? Or were you familiar with Ric Flair before Ted DiBiase?
That was before, like, other federations were on my radar. So I would just hear people talking about Ric Flair, because these other scumbags at my school would have cable, and I didn't have cable. So they would be watching NWA and stuff, and I would just, like...
Right.
I don't know. I would call these wrestling hotlines like Coach Kurt, although I don't know if that one was around yet when I was that young, but there were other ones, and I would call and I would just be so excited to hear results of other things that happened elsewhere. And I would read PWI and I would see still photos of Ric Flair and think like, this guy's awesome. But I had never seen a match when I was real young. So I couldn't be like, I'm a Ric Flair fan, but I was like anxious to see this guy wrestle, you know?
Who knew you'd have like another 35 years to catch up?
Right. In
wrestling.
Probably going to have another match eventually.
Oh my God.
And now you can watch all of it.
I was going to say, maybe we should watch that match on a Patreon episode.
Oh man.
That last Ric Flair match. It's so bad. I'd watch it again. It's so horrible.
It's very.
And it's not a bad match. It's like everything other than Ric Flair involved in the match is pretty well done, I would say. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Jay Lethal's in it. It's like good wrestlers.
Everyone performed to their best ability except for Ric Flair. Except for
the well, no.
On TV or what was this for?
Oh. Pay-per-view. They like an independent pay-per-view.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Just booked one card.
It was
not
done
even
like the weekend of a big SummerSlam. Yeah. So they just kind of piggybacked off of it.
Okay.
And they did draw a huge crowd. I believe it was one of the largest independent crowds in like history.
Where was it?
Just on, Nashville, I want to say.
Mm.
Okay. I remember Rob telling me the rest of that card was really good, and I didn't watch any of it. I just watched the Ric Flair.
Yeah, it ended up kind of being this sort of super card of all the independent promotions, because you know, it's like, sure, like send us a match. And there was a convention around it. So there were all these guys that were like really the top of the line of independent wrestling, putting on great matches. And then the main event was just an embarrassment.
But on the other hand, like they wouldn't have been attracting all those people to see all these young superstars.
Right.
Like,
agreed.
Without Ric Flair there killing himself.
That's certainly the catch 22.
But Rob, you said they all wrestled to the best of their ability except Ric Flair. I think he did too. He just
yeah.
He doesn't have any more
that's a fair
ability.
Point.
Yeah.
So do you, like, what is the earliest WrestleMania memory you remember, Darren? Because you went to, like, the first.
No, I mean, I remember WrestleMania 1. I remember WrestleMania 1. But I remember, like, isolated, like, snippets and, like, you know how you have thoughts that kind of, like, old thoughts. And you're not as old as me, so maybe 30 years ago it doesn't really work as it does when it's 40 years ago. But, like, yeah, I can see in my mind right now, like, Tito Santana coming out and doing the, like, I could see it from my seat, like, the perspective. And, you know, I could, like, I remember snippets of things, but, like, I don't really remember, I can't say, like, I remember a full match playing out before me.
What did you have for lunch that day?
All right.
Now,
did you get to see Liberace up close?
I wouldn't have known who Liberace was. Oh. I don't think, maybe, yeah. No, not up close.
Biggest stars in the world.
I wasn't that close.
Andy Warhol, he was there, right?
Yeah. Was he?
I think so.
Oh, no, I don't think he was at WrestleMania. No? He was at a different event. He was at one of those MTV events.
He was at the Showboat to see an AWA house show.
My most vivid memory is of Randy Savage winning the championship. And I was like probably, I don't know, 20 rows away from the ring.
Okay, so WrestleMania 4, you remember, like, much clearer.
I just feel like there's some kind of switch happened, and, like, I can, I was maybe more closer to being an adult, and my memories are much more vivid. But, yeah, and I remember being so excited about that WrestleMania because, like, the second Hulk Hogan lost, like, he had that double DQ with Andre the Giant, remember? Mm-hmm. And one of those rounds or whatever, it was a tournament.
Yes, it was in the second round of the tournament.
They got a bye
in the first. Yes.
So once he was out, I was like, someone else is going to be the champion. This is fucking amazing. This is amazing.
For the first time in WrestleMania history,
right?
Hogan wasn't going to be champion,
and it was me and my mother and these two kids from my junior high school went to that together. Like, my mother agreed to take these two kids. And we were all looking around like, we all thought Hulk Hogan was just going to win this tournament because he just wins all the time.
Yeah.
And then he was out. I was like, what the fuck?
It's the first time in life you realized anything was possible.
Yeah. And did you know Ted DiBiase was supposed to win that? That was the original booking.
And then what changed?
I think the Honky Tonk Man refused to lose the Intercontinental title to Randy Savage. And they just swerved it and then put Randy Savage to win the world title.
Wow. Yeah. What a huge favor Honky Tonk Man did without even realizing it. Jeez.
But that could all, I mean, that's what I've read on the internet. Who the fuck knows if that's verified? But that's the prevailing theory, I think.
Oh, speaking of Randy Savage, this is just an aside, but I mentioned this to Rob earlier. Earlier in the week, I went to see a live show of I Think You Should Leave at the Beacon Theater Manhattan. And there was a guy in the audience who looked exactly like Randy Savage and was wearing a Macho Man t-shirt.
No.
And his mannerisms were also exactly like Randy Savage, to the point that I thought it must be like a bit that they're doing for the show. And like at some point he's going to like come out of the audience and go up on stage or something. But no, he's just a weirdo that was there who's in Randy Savage cosplay for some reason.
What if it's a Tupac situation where this is Randy Savage is still alive? I guess his hair would be white.
This guy was like a mid-30s Randy Savage.
Okay. That's different eras, Macho Man. Okay.
Wow.
Just had to share that. Well, it was very bizarre.
It's interesting, Darren, you had that experience at 14 because I have a very vivid memory of WrestleMania 14 when I was 14 because WrestleMania and myself, as we've established on the show, are the same numerical age. I'm a few months older, I would say, than WrestleMania, and a year. I guess
you
really
were born
year.
The year of no, wait.
Well, I was born in 83, and WrestleMania 1 was in 85. So after I had turned 1 in 84,
right. I see,
it would be the first WrestleMania.
And you hadn't had your birthday yet in 85,
right?
Right, exactly. My birthday is 6 months away at that point, so the numbers always line up for me.
Is that how you remember how old you are?
It is, that is a good way to contextualize, because it's like, oh, well, what am I, like when Jared was like, oh, I don't have that many memories of WrestleMania, and I asked myself, like, do I have memories of when I was 10? And then so I could ask myself, like, what did I do when I was 10? And then he'd be like, okay, what happened at WrestleMania 10? I was like, okay, yeah, no, I definitely have memories of that. And then, yes, my whole life revolves around wrestling, Sid, basically. But 14 was a really... like I really remember where I was in life when I was watching it.
Okay, so it was paint the picture.
It was okay. So I do remember that I was making websites at this point. This is when I was 14. Because
child prodigy, you're like young Sheldon.
Fun. It was fun, and I believe I was teaming up with these two other webmasters. Probably these other 14-year-olds who I've never met. And we were going to launch our new website, allwrestling.com, around WrestleMania 14. And I was on the playground hanging out, as I would any Sunday afternoon. and the sun was setting, and it was about to be time to for the event to begin. And I remember heading home. And my parents weren't home, and I was locked out.
You didn't have keys?
No, I did not have keys because my mother, and this is really kind of, if you think about it, this is kind of crazy. I would be allowed to leave on my own, mm-hmm. right? You know, like go to the playground or really do whatever the, like I could have gone into Manhattan. She wouldn't have known, you know, my parents would have known, right? I guess I didn't have that. I didn't have a lot of cash in order to pay for a, but anyway, but I wouldn't be able to come back unless they were home because I didn't have both the key to both locks. I didn't have the key to the like padlock, just the top. Because here we go. My mom was worried that I was so careless that I would lose my house keys, and she wouldn't want to have to replace this expensive padlock.
So she'd rather you get murdered on the street without being able to go.
Isn't that like it really is backwards? Yeah, like what?
Then spend $7.
I've never considered how ridiculous the policy was until this very moment.
Though I understand her wanting to protect herself from your carelessness. That part I understand, but I just think there must be.
I've never ever lost my house keys, actually. I was that's another thing I was just thinking about. Yeah. Now that I've said it out loud, but anywho, so I was locked out. I was like, oh shit, what the fuck? I can't do that. Like, these people that I don't know are going to be so upset at me. And by the way, they totally didn't believe that I was locked. They were like, you're just a lazy bum. And I was like, no, I promise you, I'm not. I promise. I really wanted to do this. I just could not get. So I probably, and then, so beyond that, then I was like, wait a minute, I'm not going to be able to watch this show. That was even more upsetting because this was the crowning show of Stone Cold Steve Austin, where he was going to finally beat Shawn Michaels and become world champion. And I just recall walking on the boardwalk because I, of course, live by the boardwalk. And then when I got to on Brighton First, there is a apartment building where the first floor had terraces that faced the boardwalk. And I could see, and I knew somebody that lived in one of those apartments. And I could see that they were actually having a gathering for WrestleMania, and my friends were there.
And they didn't invite you?
Well, I had plans. I had plans. I was going to be working. I may have already known that they had this gathering because this was like no. But then they saw me. They're like, Rob, get up here. And I remember climbing from the boardwalk. Wow. Like essentially, trespassing, but they allowed me, into this guy's property and just climbed over and just hung out. Yeah, I guess I could have walked around, but that would have been so much work. And it was so much more fun to watch WrestleMania with a crowd of people, like with my buddies. And then we were 14 and then, this guy was like, I don't know, late 20s, 30s, and like uh-oh, my friend's parents were there. It was just a multi-generational but this was an American guy, so it was like all American dudes and then like me and like a few other Russian kids who are just.
So you admit you're not American.
Wow!
You finally got him. I pledge my allegiance to the Soviet Union.
I knew it.
But yeah, so that was a really fun memory for me of watching that and watching Austin win the title with like a crew of people. WrestleMania is a fun show to do in a, you know, with people, with a few folks, I feel.
So what ended up happening with allwrestling.com?
We just launched it the next day or whatever, but it did end up launching and lasting for a little bit.
How'd it go?
It went all right until I think because it wasn't something I was I just clashed with these other 14-year-olds and eventually I, you know, siphoned off and started my own proprietary website, as we've discussed before, the award-winning wrestlingarena.com.
I thought it was .net.
No.
Did they not want a Babe of the Day and you just insisted you put your foot down and that's what split you up?
This was before Babe of the Day, but I do remember Babe of the Day was a thing on wrestling websites. Like, I did not invent Babe of the Day. I stole it from some other website for sure.
Oh.
Because it's like there wasn't that much wrestling news and you needed excuses. You needed to give people an excuse to come back to your website every day. It wasn't like you had Facebook to share links. The only way to get traffic, actually, funny enough, would be to work for free for other websites and submit news to them, aggregated news. And then at the end of the article, you can link back to your website. And this is like before clickbait was even a term. You would just create the most clickbaity link, like kind of like Gene Okerlund with the WCW hotline of like, this former WWF superstar just fell in a hole. Like, who are we talking about? You know, like something like that, something silly like that. But the reason that I bring this up is because there was some wrestling news that didn't quite involve WrestleMania this week, and it is that Vince McMahon revealed he's finally pushing back on this lawsuit against from Janelle Grant, saying that, you know, he did all these terrible things to her. And what do you guys remember? What's like a summary of some of the messed up things he did?
He pooped on her.
Pooped on her is absolutely one of the more not good things that he did.
He sent her to like fuck other guys or something, right? Or have three ways.
Didn't he force her to take pictures of herself pissing and then send it to wrestlers or something?
That sounds actually familiar.
That was actually Brock Lesnar that requested that. Yes, he tried to pimp her out to Brock Lesnar.
Oh, that was the enticement for Brock Lesnar to fuck her or whatever.
Resign or something like that.
To re-sign with the company?
Yeah, like if he resigned, one of the perks would be that he got to have sex with Vince's girlfriend.
I didn't know that part.
This was all during the contract negotiation.
That's hilarious. I mean, hilarious. It's shocking. Hilarious.
It's shocking that would need to be a perk. Like, does he have that much trouble getting laid?
Yeah.
Like, why is this something that he would care about?
Married to Sable.
No, I think it's more like Vince is like, look at this conquest that I have. Like, I want you to fuck her. I want you to. Well, I think he's obsessed with Brock Lesnar. There was a thing where he essentially suggested that, like, he had a big dildo and he named it Brock. You know, like, that's the implication. So
did he use it on himself or on others?
On her. He used it on her. Okay.
That we know of.
Or yeah,
well,
like,
Brock
exactly.
Does also rhyme with cock, so
cock Lesnar.
Yeah,
I wonder if he did. Do you think he names all his dildos?
Yeah. How many dildos? Do you think he has like a dildo room, like a walk-in closet?
Yes,
with
that was in the
dildos?
Thing that he had various toys that he used on her. Yes.
Whoa. Do you think that he has a 4-inch dildo that he calls Gilberg?
It's a butt plug.
Yeah.
Is Gilbert so here's still alive?
Yes, who else he is. Humiliate? He has another little butt plug called Terry Taylor.
Oh. It's red.
Poor Terry. Well, he's not that poor. Well,
probably, yeah, he was kind of a dickhead too, right? What is
yeah, I believe, like abused people at WCW. Allegedly.
Lord Little Plug. Does he have one of those?
I love that guy. It's my little buddy.
He wears it during his depositions. Keep focused. Plugs himself.
So,
By the way, I did remember something from WrestleMania 2, actually. I remember. And that was the worst one. That was, and also, it was only like four matches, I feel like.
It was a Royal Rumble. There was a Battle Royal, right? And Hogan.
Well, it was from three locations. So you only saw a few matches live, and the rest are watching.
Right. And we had the worst matches. It was like Paul Orndorff. And who was he was against? Who the fuck was he against? Don Morocco, maybe.
Oh my god!
And but the one really awesome match was Macho Man against George Steele.
Mm.
That was always fun. I probably had seen that at MSG before already. But
you are correct. It's so the matches that you saw were Paul Orndorff versus the Magnificent Morocco with Mr. Fuji, ending in a double countout. How exciting!
Oh my god! Why?
I didn't even remember that.
Oof.
Randy Savage against George Steele for the Intercontinental title. 5 minutes.
Really? I wouldn't have guessed that. I was just thinking, playing the match back in my head. And I was like, maybe the entrances made it seem longer. Mm. Randy Savage coming out.
What's so funny is the Paul Orndorff match was 4:10. The Macho Man match was 5:10. So it was 1 minute longer than that previous match. But I bet that previous match felt much longer.
Yeah. How can... to be honest with you, I can't remember a second of the Paul Orndorff match.
Yeah, I don't remember it at all. And WrestleMania 2, I watched so many times.
I know I was there.
Yeah, Jake Roberts defeated George Wells, which I remember very well. This was like Jake Roberts' big debut where he put the snake on and George Wells was foaming at the mouth.
Yeah, which I didn't.
I don't remember that name at all. Okay.
Black guy, random jobber.
Wow.
And then the brutal boxing match.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. T and Roddy Piper.
Yeah. God. I remember being very bored and wanting to go home during that. And I liked
Roddy. All the fun stuff was definitely in Chicago and L.A. But
I mean, that wasn't that much fun stuff there either. But what was fun was there? I liked that Hogan and Bundy match, to be honest with you. It's good big guy, mad brawler match. It's not like technical classic, but it's a fun match. They both.
How were your seats for WrestleMania 3? Do you have any?
Terrible. In the rafters. Mm. Pointless to even be there, but it's still exciting to be a part of history and all that. Yeah. I might as well have been watching like pinpricks. Like you couldn't see shit. And that was the biggest gate that you and I remember, like, I remember when like Hacksaw Jim Duggan comes out during that match, the Killer Bees match, I think it was. That's WrestleMania 3. And there was a guy, like, oh, like, fucking just going nuts for Hacksaw Jim Duggan, 97 miles away from everything. This guy's freaking the fuck out. Incredible. WrestleMania 4 was the first one I had like amazing seats for.
Where was that one?
That was in Atlantic City, Trump Plaza. And WrestleMania 5 was also in Trump Plaza.
Which was the outdoor one?
There was a few of them now, but 9 was the first one. Then it was raining, right? That part of it. And Joe had JR in a toga. I didn't go to that.
God, yeah, that was.
I didn't go to 7, 8, 9. I was like checked out of wrestling at that point, more or less. Like I would check in on it every now and then. WrestleMania 6, and now I look back, it's a horrible WrestleMania, but that was probably my favorite at the time experiencing it. Like I just really liked Ultimate Warrior. I'm embarrassed to say now. But
it was for the age we were all in, the age range, it worked. If we were in our 30s at the time. No,
I was 16. I mean, I feel like
that's even still, that's fine. Raging hormones, you're going through all. You felt like on the inside, you felt like an ultimate warrior.
He was my id.
Yeah, It makes sense.
I was at SummerSlam when he beat the Honky Tonk Man too in like 30 seconds, which was crazy. Honky Tonk Man was the, and I had terrible seats for that too. Honky Tonk Man was the like longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time, and he just, you know, bring somebody out from the back, I'll beat his ass, you know, and then Ultimate Warrior comes out and beats him in like 8 seconds. It was very shocking.
I never liked the Honky Tonk Man, which I guess is the point, but I just didn't understand like why he gets that belt for that long.
Like, he was such a dick and like so annoying and a good, I feel like a good enough wrestler to be, you know what I mean? To pull it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I loved him. I think it was like after the Ted DiBiase set me on that heel path. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I really fucking dig that. I love it. I used to look around the crowd and be like, look at this reaction this guy's getting. You know?
Maybe that's where my hate for country music comes from.
I refuse to believe that. It's bad on its own merits.
But you still, you got to develop that hate from somewhere. Some first exposure to the music.
Fair enough.
So it might have been Honky Tonk Man.
I know in a box somewhere, my mother has pics from like how far up we are, were in the crowd.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to try to see if I can find it. It was pointless. You wouldn't even know we're at a wrestling show. You could see a ring and it's like, it's like that. She had like a box camera or something, or what are the disposables, or like, I guess it wouldn't have been disposables yet, right?
Maybe.
1987. Do they have disposable cameras? I don't know. Maybe. Well, she had some shitty camera. No, I don't think so, because they're in, I think they're in like one of those envelopes that you used to get from the photo.
Oh, man. Wow.
We're speaking a different language to some, yes, of the audience right now.
We're talking about, did the technology of disposable cameras exist yet?
Yeah.
And now it's,
yeah,
already funny, stopped.
What? Well, you, no, I just, I actually, what, just purchased a disposable,
what,
camera.
You have one right there?
Sitting there? Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Why do those exist? Where are they selling that?
They sell them at a Rite Aid.
Jesus, that's crazy. Do you have a rotary phone within reach, Rob? What else do you have?
No. Well, now that you showed that, you want to explain what it is?
I have a pointed camera as well. I'm trying to get into analog photography.
For more shirtless pictures from different.
Yeah, exactly. Analog.
That camera cannot be better than an iPhone camera, can it?
No way.
It's possible.
It's different.
What is,
yeah,
it
worse?
It's a different quality of a photo.
Yeah, lower quality. That's different. Yes.
I like the idea of having a physical proof. I mean, certainly you could print out iPhone photos, but this is different. I like this whole. I want to try out this experience.
Okay.
Is it? Do you have to get it developed somewhere?
Yeah.
So you just go to like your pharmacy or whatever, and they'll still do
there's
that.
There's a photo store like a block away from me.
Why don't you build a dock room too while you're at it?
Oh, <yeah. laughs>
Maybe eventually. Maybe if
Ansel
I get into
Adams.
It. You don't know. You
is
don't
that
know.
Thing, is that thing waterproof? Can you go take pictures of squid at Brighton Beach or?
I believe the disposable camera is waterproof, actually.
Good. I want some aquatic life photos on your Insta.
Yeah.
So we were talking about the girl Vince McMahon pooped on, and then completely diverted from that. I don't even know where we were going.
Yes. Okay. So I wanted to read this article.
For him to poop on. Sorry.
So, you know, the lawsuit is all about how she was coerced. This was a non-consensual relationship. And it seems like Vince McMahon's strategy is to somehow convince people that it, in fact, was consensual. And one way he's trying to prove it is he's released this love letter that he claims she wrote to him, which her lawyer says she admits that she did write it, but she was, much like with the whole relationship, coerced into it. Mm. So let's read this letter. And obviously, New York Post loves posting stuff like this. And even, you know, it really exposes that a lot of people won't even bother to read the article, because the article, by the end of it, I think Vince comes out looking worse than before the article was released. But if you are the type of person that only needs to read the headline, That's it. You're like, oh, here, there you go. Evidence proves she's just like looking for money here. You know, Vince did nothing wrong. Boom. He's been, you know, whatever, some bullshit like that. Anyway, yeah. So let's read this article. A woman who alleges she was sexually abused for years by Vince McMahon wrote a gushing love letter to the former WWE CEO in which she declared the duo was in love with a capital L, and she now claims McMahon coerced her to do it, the Post has learned. Janelle Grant, whose bombshell lawsuit landed a day before the wrestling icon abruptly stepped down as executive chairman of WWE parent TKO Group Holdings, penned a lengthy email to McMahon, dated December 24th, 2021, in which she called him, quote, my best friend, my love, and my everything. The letter writes, after almost 3 years together, it's like my life isn't even real to me unless you're there and in it, and I'm sharing it all with you, Grant, 43, wrote in the Christmas Eve letter to 78-year-old McMahon, obtained by the Post. Very wordy.
How old is he now, right now? That's just, cause this is
78.
She wrote this recently?
No, well, she wrote this in 2021, but this is their ages currently.
Okay,
it's a little confusing writing there, but so didn't he force her to write those though? I thought that was the story.
Well, that's what we're getting through here. Yes, the love-struck letter stands in contrast to the allegations in her explosive lawsuit filed in Connecticut federal court in January, which claimed McMahon allegedly defecated on Grant's head during a threesome in May 2020, some 18 months before she wrote the alleged love letter. Oh, so. How could he? Why would she write a love letter after he shat on her? proposes the Post.
Mm-hmm.
But Grant's attorney, Ann Callis, told the Post that McMahon actually instructed Grant to write the note.
Yeah.
Quote, frankly, it's pretty disgusting that Vince's weeks late attempt to defend his horrendous behavior he claims to this day never happened, is to try to showcase letters that Vince himself coerced her to write, Callis said. His psychological torture of her continues, as is typical of abusive predators who respond to women speaking out with increased threats. While Janelle isn't a stranger to his intimidation tactics, this is a new low, even for him. Asked about the coercion allegations, McMahon's attorney, who, by the way, McMahon hired the firm that was hired by a smaller company, MLW, Major League Wrestling, they hired this firm and sued WWE for unfair business practices, and they won. They won a huge settlement of like $20 million, and McMahon was so impressed that he hired them to represent him. These are big-time attorneys. And so his lawyer notes that this is revisionist history. No one coerced Mrs. Grant to write that letter. She wrote it on her own accord. The fact that the letter shows it was the 24th draft speaks volumes. Does it? Nowhere in
her get it right.
Complaint that is replete with fabrications does she mention being coerced into such behavior. The language of the letter is consistent with other communications she made to Mr. McMahon over the course of the consensual relationship.
In the coerced letter, she doesn't say that the letter's coerced, therefore it isn't coerced.
Right.
Basically.
Well, hold on.
She was supposed to put Morse code dots in there and say, I'm doing this under duress.
Send a picture of you blinking twice if you're being coerced to write this. Attach it. JPEG.
So the New York Post, for all their faults, did actually do some research here.
Oh, no. Really?
Believe it or not, a spokesperson for Grant revealed that on December 21st, 3 days before sending the letter, Grant texted McMahon that she had surgery on her pointer finger, saying, I think I'm tapping out today. In the alleged text exchange obtained by the Post, which was not included in Grant's lawsuit, but alleged as genuine by a spokesperson for Ms. Grant, McMahon responded, damn it, sorry, baby, following it with two heart emojis. Grant replied, how will I write your letter? I can type and read it or try to write it in a couple of days. I'm sorry if I messed this up. I want you to have a nice letter. So this is proof that she's being coerced here, that she's saying... fucking finger is broken. She can't type right now, so she can't really write the letter, implying that this is something that he wanted.
Yeah.
Right. I've got a cure for your finger, baby. Come here.
Oh, no. Yeah, stick it in there.
Here's
Is that
where...
how she broke the finger?
All those toilet flushes to get rid of it.
Oh, my God.
Crap.
Oh. I can't stop. It's so horrible. I can't stop thinking, like, what position was everyone in when he shit on her?
I got through that cycle as well.
Was she laying down and he, like, literally squatted over her face like a toilet bowl? Or, like,
I think she was
bent over and she was eating his
ass. Or she might have been in a doggy position. I could see her in a doggy position.
I think it's specified that she was blowing John Laurinaitis while he shit on her. Isn't that?
No.
I'm remembering
John Laurinaitis was not in the room. No.
Someone else was
somebody else. Yeah, this was an unidentified third party.
But the person she was blowing him, I think. Maybe
so then did the shit get on this other dude also?
Do we need to revisit this, Sid?
Can't help it. Yeah. I've been revisiting it whether we revisit it or not. It's horrible.
I'd like
clarification
on this issue.
Well, before we do, let me just wrap up with this article.
Okay.
Wipe up the article.
Or if one of you want to look that up while I wipe up this article.
Sid, you want to do it?
Grant's rep, who asked to remain unnamed, also said that Grant had written love letters at McMahon's request so many times that she resorted to padding them with existing material from pop culture, including a GQ interview with Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly published 2 months before Grant's letter. In the GQ piece, for example, author Molly Lambert said of the celeb's relationship, the carnal component is clearly off the charts, but they also can be sweet and funny. Language that was lifted nearly word for word in Grant's letter. Fox and MGK are in love with a capital L, the story also states. Another phrase lifted by Grant. In another passage, Grant wrote, I feel understood, accepted, loved, and appreciated for who I am at my core. You see my heart. You see my soul. There are a few people who know the secret of making heaven on earth. You are one of those rare people. Grant's spokesperson said the sugary sweet lines were ripped verbatim from the 1947 film, The Bishop's Wife.
What? What a random pull. Like, was she just Googling love letters or what the hell?
I guess.
This is all so fucking strange.
That's basically the gist of the article. And then the rest is talking about parts of the lawsuit that we'd already gone over weeks before.
Ugh. It's all so fucking weird. Is she going to eventually have her own Dark Side of the Ring episode where she's going to tell all or no? Is there going to be some kind of settlement where she's forbidden from an NDA kind of settlement?
I don't know. Well, there is an NDA. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
But NDAs can be voided if there's some kind of criminality that is being covered up by the NDA.
But I'm saying after the trial, she'll get whatever money and then there'll be a new NDA.
Oh, I see. Yeah, maybe. I mean, depends what she wants, I guess. Yeah. But I found that the part of the complaint here. Ms. McMahon also subjected Ms. Grant to acts of extreme cruelty and degradation that caused Ms. Grant to disassociate and or become numb to reality in order to survive the horrific encounters. As one example of McMahon's extreme depravity, on May 9th, 2020, during COVID, oh my God.
Wow.
He defecated on Ms. Grant during a threesome and then commanded her to continue pleasuring his friend with feces in her hair and running down her back. And went to the bathroom to shower off. So I was wrong because it says he commanded her to continue pleasuring his friend.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Am I
wrong?
It
could go either way. That could mean you're blowing him already and keep doing it, or proceed to blow him now that I've done this to you.
Yeah. So you're probably right.
Like, oh, what is this? And keep going.
I didn't tell you to stop. Feel bad even doing that. There's sort of a perverse humor in there, but very funny.
So he was 74 at the time. And most 74-year-olds, their bowel movements are inconsistent at best. Probably this wasn't a quick
right
bing bang boom. He was probably straining from
Yeah.
15 minutes just to get one turn out on this poor woman's head.
I bet he was praying for this for weeks.
Like, no, I think really... it was just backed up. And he's like, oh, I got to go. Well,
no, I disagree.
I'm not going to rush.
I poop so it's right here. I've got to.
He dreamed of shitting on her head during a sex act and just was waiting for the time his rare bowel movement aligned with something he was doing to her. And it finally did. The clouds parted. He had a little nugget. Like this Kids in the Hall sketch.
Yes.
That really seems it just seems so cruel to have to keep engaging in sex with the smell of shit around. I can't think of anything worse.
Didn't she have a hole? Well, I guess I could think of bunch of money at that time. Like, I'm not shaming her or anything, but I mean, like, I just feel like you got something. You know, you could take care of your family now. Like, go run away. Wipe the shit off.
I think she was just like, I'm so deep into it now. I just have to make it a few more weeks, then it'll be over. Like, something
really,
like,
why?
He's going to die eventually, right? He's old.
What was going to happen?
Well, she was hoping to get some sort of promotion or some relocation, you know, like.
But wouldn't she still be working for Vince?
Well, she just wanted to make sure she had like vice president on her LinkedIn to then be able to get that kind of job somewhere else. Like, how could she move on? Where could she go? She would just be as lost.
But if
and
she
broke.
Bails on Vince, is she expecting like a really good letter of reference anyway? Like, if they call the previous employer,
that was what was weird is that like she kind of treated. Well, you know, the way it was written, she treated the employment as somehow earned. Yeah. So, yeah, she's separated in some way.
The good news is you got promoted. Bad news is your new job getting purple nurpled by John Cena.
Oh, no. I mean, that's better than getting shit on by Vince McMahon. Yeah, that's a huge promotion. Fucking take my nipples, just keep them.
That's the thing that stood out to that's the new revelation. That was in 2020. This is during lockdown.
Yeah.
May 2020.
This was at the height of fucking like, stay at home. Don't keep your germs away from other people. Let me shit on her hair.
Well, maybe she had a mask on then. That could have helped.
She's sucking a dick with a mask on.
Well, you put a hole in the middle.
Right. So maybe everyone else in the room had a mask on except her. Can you imagine like John Laurinaitis or whoever was getting blown there and Vince McMahon like Eiffel Towering with masks on?
Luchador masks? They probably just have a stash of wrestling masks on hand.
Well, Vince is a germaphobe, though. That's the thing. Like, we could say, rich Republican guy, don't care about COVID, but Vince is a germaphobe. So he probably did have he probably had one of those face shields on. While he was shitting on her, he probably had a face shield on his asshole.
Oh, Rob, Photoshop that right now.
No,
and make it pop up behind Joe Biden and Jeremy's cock. I'm sorry. I really do respect this woman. I feel bad for her.
I like that. I'm sorry as you play the sound effect. Love it.
Well, Rob, I'm trying to detach myself and just have that be a sound playing.
Yeah, you're disassociating just like she did.
But I just do feel
I'm
like...
associating here. I'm associating the sound with the person playing it.
How do you know that wasn't Sid?
That was me actually doing it.
Fair. But it sounds like a fart in a toilet. Yeah, that's more out in the open.
Okay. Whew. Is that a better one, Rob?
Thank you. And again, look, if you are into defecating as a sexual act,
shame on you. No.
More power to you. That's fine, as long as you find someone who consents to it.
Yeah, that would certainly be better. I don't know about fine. A little cleanup issue.
Look, if both of you are into it and you keep it relatively sanitary as you could with such an act, I'm okay with it ultimately.
Can I add an asterisk to that, though?
Sure.
I agree with you. You
can add an asterisk.
I agree with you in principle. It's nothing, you know, morals are subjective and all that stuff. Google it, because there's a lot of
things people don't know about shitting and how dangerous it is. There's a lot of dangerous stuff in shit. There's a reason your body expels it. Please do your research. I cannot stress this enough. You do not want shit bacteria in your mouth, in your vagina, and any of your orifices. It's very dangerous.
Eyeballs.
Eyeballs. Pink eye.
Yeah.
Nostrils.
Oh, the nostrils. Oh.
I mean, Janelle Grant, listen, probably something floating around in there. Did you ever, listen, I got a question for you guys, tangentially related. My ex-wife, like, you know when you smell a fart?
Where's this going? Jesus Christ.
No, it's not sexual.
Okay.
You know when you smell a fart and it feels like you still smell it in the room like an hour later or something? She told me, I have never bought this. She told me the whatever chemical sensation causes you to smell something, it stays in your nose hairs. Like it gets trapped in your passageway. And if you have particularly long nose hairs, as I do, you retain the smell of the fart. Can that be true? I've never looked it up, but
well, wouldn't you be able to answer that? Like, did you retain the smell of farts?
Or? I did. I would smell them like long. I do still.
Have you tried trimming your nose hairs and seeing if your level of retention is lower?
Too much work.
Too much work. You just gotta
trim them like when they're sticking out, like when they're visible. I clip them off. I don't go in there.
You don't have an electric trimmer?
No, I have one of the add-ons to buzz my head, but that's it.
Oh, okay.
That's it. Why do I need to do all of that? I'm comfortable. It's not bothering me. Unless it pokes out, then it looks unseemly, and I get rid of it.
I feel like it impedes my breathing. Get those hairs out of there.
If I did think that, I would, but it doesn't.
I pluck them out. When I feel that they're too long, I'll just yank one out.
I hate that. That skeeves the shit.
I don't like
out
plucking.
Of
I just get the little.
It's painful but satisfying. I have one of those, but I never use it.
It's a little nose dildo. Just pop it in there.
I have one
little nose butt plug.
I got one stray hair on my bald head that is stubborn. It's right in the middle. I look like alfalfa if I let it grow out.
A girl
I was dating was like, "Why don't you just rip it out?" She's like, let me do it. I was like, no, I fucking, it skeeves me so much.
Really? Even from your head? From the top of your head? Wow.
There's something about it that just drives me. Yeah. So I shave it, I clip it, or I shave it with the razor, but I will not rip it out. I can't.
Wow.
No. I don't know why there's one fucking follicle on my top of my head that works. That's the stupidest fucking thing. Like, just all or nothing. Let's stop fucking
There's
around.
One guy hanging on for dear life.
Yeah, why can't they all be like that? I have a normal head of hair.
Yeah.
Have you considered one of those hair treatments?
Yeah, I've become comfortable with being bald. I kind of wear the hat now on the show as a meme at this point. I've done the show a couple of times with no hat on. It doesn't bother me, and I feel like the opposite sex, they seem to be certain. I mean, it's not for everybody. Some women like a thick head of hair, but a wide portion of the female heterosexual community likes my bald head. So I have no problem with it. I have no problem when I look in the mirror with it. So I don't mind, but I would not go to the extreme. If it was, I'll be real with you. If it was easy to do, like if there was you could have hair tomorrow, I would do it. But it's not worth the massive expense that I would have to go.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck it. I'm okay. I'm good.
And have they come up with a technology that actually looks real yet? Or can you still instantly tell that the person's got plugs or a piece or whatever?
How would you know? That's the thing. That's what I think the conservative argument against, like, when they try to impugn, like, trans women is they go, well, they look like men. Well, how do you know? If they look like a woman, you wouldn't know. How would you be able to say it? So it's the same thing with that bald thing. Like, you know, if it really looked good, you just think the guy has hair.
Yeah. Fair.
That actually reminded me of something. We're going on a lot of tangents today.
Yeah.
I was looking up my first choice for playing a song today was I wanted to play another song that came up for me in Spotify, not in Spotify. I don't remember where I even heard it. I think YouTube maybe, but it was by the same band that did Havana. The famous song from the show. I found another Perp Walk song that seemingly very problematic that I forgot about until just now. I remember it from the time. We may have mentioned it on the show, but it's the T word, like a slur for trans
people. This sounds familiar.
It's that word plus man, right? But it's not. But it's not about that. It's about a guy coming to fix your transmission.
Oh,
your car breaks down, okay. And he's the guy that drives up with his truck. Uh-huh. But I still feel like they're going for that. Mm-hmm. Like they're trying to make you think of that word. So that's still.
They probably don't play that one live anymore.
If they play at all, do they play?
I have no idea.
I checked.
You were the one that was like following their tour schedule.
That's not true. We went to one show, and my ex-wife dragged me to that, and not dragged me. I wanted to go, but like she was the impetus of it.
He doesn't mention his band on New York One anymore.
Oh, I don't even listen and watch New York One anymore. But yeah, they probably broke up.
Sad.
It's a fun time though. Those late 2010s, the Perp Walk era.
Before Vince McMahon shit on anyone that we know of.
That we know, yeah.
Montana.
Good times.
Montana.
Guantanamo. You want Guantanamo?
Guantanamo.
Vince McMahon was doing some Guantanamo.
Oh, so gross.
Such a powerful voice.
Guantanamo.
It's like a character from Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
That's what she sounds like.
I wanted to do a little hair transplant.
Oh, no.
It's not going to show.
My name's Stephen Temple.
No.
Temple, get it?
And I'm 55 years of age. I'm not trying to stem the aging process.
That is a hard 55.
I'm just merely trying to look my age rather than a lot older. Well, I think since I started losing my hair, it,
I think it's more like kind the of lines on my in mind. His face.
I'm not really that type of person, but I normally put everything toward my
children. I think his hair looks fine for 55
years of working. Choke a man out for that kind of hair.
10 years ago,
it's like the least old thing about it.
Here, catching yourself in the mirror from the back.
I bet you this guy's been dancing.
It's not really a vanity thing. That sounds strange going for a transplant. But I just like to look my age rather than.
It's not a vanity thing. I just like to look my age rather than people telling me I look older than I am. Isn't that the definition of a vanity thing?
Also, I feel like he would look ancient with a full head of hair.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's like the least old-looking thing about him. Oh, I can't take it. I'm already mad.
It's going to be quite boring for me. I'm just sitting about and I'm looking at it like a...
It's going to be boring until they start jamming needles in your fucking forehead, bro.
Imagine instead of giving him the hair transplant, they just tattoo that line on his forehead and send him out into the world. Nanny, nanny, poo poo.
They just make him Umaga. Draw all over his face. Perry Saturn. He kind of looks a little like Perry Saturn now.
Everybody looks so bored in this. Oh!
What?
All went very well. There was minimal pain. And discomfort.
Now he's Steve-O.
So then an extended visit to the dentist. 3 months after the procedure, as you can see,
looks so real.
Got some growth in this area. And
do you?
In this area.
I think that's what they told him. He didn't have a mirror.
End of month four.
You have to get rid of mirrors in your house, sir. That's the only way the hair will grow.
Scissors on the top. Lots of growth coming through now, as you can see from the side. Month five. After the transplant,
looks real at least.
Very pleased with the outcome. 7 months since the transplant.
He still looks old though.
Things continue to go well.
Bags under that. Can you get rid of the bags?
As you can see,
is this man capable of smiling?
At the front.
Hey, you got hands.
Yeah, dipshit.
That's the problem.
The process will take 18 months in total, but 7 months in, very pleased.
We've created a landing strip for Vince McMahon's defecation.
Thanks.
Yeah, not worth it.
Hurt so much.
Well, again, like I said, if there was some cream you could put on your hair to fucking, you know, and then you got hair, I'm in. I'd do it.
Rob, you ever have cream in your hair? No,
no comment.
Rob?
Declined to comment.
Sorry.
He legitimately didn't hear you. Wow. Jesus, I thought he was ignoring.
He's listening to another podcast.
I was queuing something else up. What's up?
Have you ever had cream in your hair?
No. I mean, I've had hair cream in my hair.
Pause then.
What were you queuing up?
Sorry, Rob. You have had cream in your hair.
There, I've seen videos on TikTok where they go to like Turkey or whatever, and it's
heard so about wild. This with Turkey, but what is it? The same procedure? They just do it better, or is it something else?
Cheaper. Yeah, I think it's just cheaper. It's significantly cheaper there.
But you still have to fly to fucking Turkey.
Yeah, that's expensive. It still ends up being cheaper. That's how I guess cheap it is.
Get some good kebabs.
They put doner sauce on your on your head.
Oh. Take some of that.
Anyway,
Susan.
So no for the hand shirt.
I'm sorry. Can we take a pause? And because you remind me of John Sterling. Did you see when he got hit with a baseball?
That was what, last year, 2 years
ago?
Did
we play that? I can't.
I think we did.
I just saw it again. It reminded me of it. He just goes, "Ow, ow, ow!"
And then he finishes the call. He's still working. That guy is like in his mid-80s by now, isn't he?
Yeah, or 90 even, maybe. I'm not sure.
The Yankees radio announcer, 85.
And he's happy as fuck. He's not worried about his hairline.
Well, he's got a good one.
Well, it's receding, but for 85, he's probably been to Turkey. What?
He probably went to Turkey.
Yeah.
In the off season.
Did you guys ever see Olam Shavasisi? It's like a... All right. They made it's this Turkish film where they made a shot for shot remake of Star Wars for some reason in Turkish.
What? No.
For like 90 cents per scene. It went viral on the internet like 10 years ago. Okay. It's if you just Google Turkish Star Wars.
Is there a Chewbacca?
I don't remember. I watched it back then when it was viral, so I don't remember any details about it. Wow. But it's horrible. It's hilariously horrible. I would say we should do a Patreon on it, but it's like, you know, I feel like that was done by a million podcasts back then, you know. But if you watch it, you think we should do it, I'd definitely do it.
Another post. How long is it? That's the question.
It's about the length of Star Wars, I feel like. It's not really shot for shot. It's like scene for scene, and they do certain things differently because they don't have any money. But it's very funny. And I think they also like wholesale just like stole shots from Star Wars for like whenever none of the characters are on the screen, they just use space. Like,
did they get sued?
I don't think so, because like there was no money in it. But I don't know. Maybe they got sued. But it's like old. It's like from when Star Wars was out, I think.
Wow.
I don't think it was even on anyone's radar. Like there was no internet then, whatever.
Interesting.
I don't know the details.
Do they keep the names? Like, are the character names all the same?
No,
or do
they have
change
like them? I think they have like Turkish names. And stuff.
Okay.
You can correct me if I'm wrong, someone in the chat, but they all gave them like Turkish names. Stuff.
Okay. Plausible deniability.
Yeah.
Maybe some guy in Turkey just happened to have the same idea.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
We've all had that Star Wars idea where someone was like, no, dude, that's Star Wars. And then you're like, ah, I guess I should drop it. Probably get sued. I hate when that happens.
When was the last time you got sued, Rob?
Last time I got sued? It's been a few years. But it's all right.
Oh, I got the name wrong, by the way. Olam Shavasisi is like a different, it's like a ninja warrior movie made by the same like type of the same people, but the Turkish Star Wars has a different name. So, sorry for the misinformation.
I feel like you would have gotten away with that one if you just let it go.
I like to be accurate.
ZP guitarist with a little legal note saying they could sue, but it's an American copyright law versus a Turkish law, so they can't enforce it unless Turkish courts get involved.
Well, if it was today, I bet you that Disney would put the hammer down.
Oh, my God.
U.S. legal system.
They would all side with Disney.
Yeah. Be the 51st state. This has been a fun show, I got to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
lots of different directions we've gone in.
I do the Borat voice, and we always joke about my wife. Borat no longer has a wife.
Oh, what a shame.
Sacha Baron Cohen and Isla Fisher announced their divorcing.
I think, Sid, you mentioned this in the Discord. It might have been you or someone else, but was that due to the revelations by Rebel Wilson?
I was wondering. Did Isla Fisher all along think that Sacha Baron Cohen was a totally normal, well-adjusted guy, and then this book comes out? She's like, wait a minute. You're a fucking weirdo.
Yeah. You got to be, but you know, I mean, you're buying into someone being a weirdo, but then if they're sexually harassing people and stuff, like, it's different, you know.
But was it sexual harassment or was it just like hazing that was shitty and weird? I couldn't really tell. I didn't fully delve into the accusations.
I think it was sexually tinged hazing, though. Mm. If it was hazing, if we accept that, I mean, I think it was
still shitty either way.
Yeah. But not Vince McMahon shitty.
No. Oh, my God. Yeah, that was if they did a sequel to that movie. What was it? The Brothers Grimsby? Was that the name of it?
Oh, yeah. I never saw that.
Never saw that either.
I have no desire to see it.
That's like the thing when allegations like this come out and it's from a movie that was horrible and nobody cared about. It's like, wow. All that trauma from something that was not worth the trouble, even if there wasn't trauma involved with it. Like, for that movie, people had to go through that?
I saw the trailer for that and I was checked out. I was like, yeah. Fuck this. I was excited because I liked Sacha Baron Cohen. But like, oh, let's see what he's doing now. And then just look like so shitty.
He makes some weird choices.
I just saw him in Hugo. You guys ever see that?
No.
That's a Martin Scorsese. For some reason, Martin Scorsese directed a children's movie.
That seems... Is it lighthearted or is it fucking weird and grim?
It's both. It's like lighthearted but sad and depressing and also uplifting. It's like a kid, he's like orphaned and he lives in a French train station.
Is it live action or animated?
Live action, but it's got elements of animation, like he's building this robot because his father was building this robot when he found a robot and was trying to make the robot work. It's in the 1910s or something.
Is Sacha Baron Cohen the star? Or he's just
no. One of
the,
okay. He's a he has a pretty big role, but he's a supporting character. He's like the cop, the security guard in the train station, and he's like abusive and he's like a dickhead. But he has an arc, like he becomes a nice guy at the end or whatever.
Okay.
It wasn't a terrible movie, but it's like, why is Martin Scorsese directing this? It's so against type.
The last few dramatic movies of his that I've seen were not great either, so maybe he needs to do something else.
This is a while ago. I think it was 2011 that movie came out.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I definitely did not see that.
What Martin Scorsese should do is look up our Spotify playlist.
Oh.
Be a Livecast music break every week. We each add a song. We drop it in. There's over 43 hours of music for you to enjoy, all top picks. And this week, I popped in a little songy song from a band that I really enjoy, Entheos.
Didn't we have the lead singer on the show?
Yeah.
Chaney?
Yes. She's lovely. She has a guttural scream. Her voice sounds very wicked. It's from one of the nicest young ladies you will encounter.
Like the musical? Wicked? She sounds like she's in Wicked?
No, it sounds evil and wicked.
Okay.
But they have a
do an impression of it. And then sing one of the lyrics.
I can't. It's something like this. It's something like that.
Sounds better than that. Jeez.
All right. Of course. See, Aaron agrees with me. Aaron says Entheos is my favorite right now. Agreed.
I like the qualification of right now, meaning it's not going to last, but this week.
No, just the like best. The biggest jam of the moment. That's my.
What
pick.
Would be what the second? What would be your second biggest jam of the moment, Rob? If you had to pick one.
My new second Beyonce? Biggest jam of the moment.
Yes.
Smuckers.
I've actually been kind of having a ministry moment. I've been having a ministry moment.
Old ministry, recent ministry?
Yeah, just one fix. I actually went back and listened to their first album, which sounds nothing like ministry. It's
more dancing,
kind of a
right?
new wave album. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's actually some bangers on there. It's very it's way better than I thought it would be.
Al Jurgensen.
Yeah. What's the other guy's name? Something Baker?
Hmm.
Steve Baker, Phil Baker.
Tom
Sid,
Baker.
What do you pick?
Who?
Oh. Hold on. I got to look up the other guy from Ministry's name.
Shlomo China. Yeah, Shlomo S-H-L-O-M-O.
I picked a song by Built to Spill. They're touring soon on the 30th anniversary of one of their albums, which seems like 50% of the tours nowadays are just anniversary tours for old albums. Am I crazy? Does it feel like when did this start being like such a common thing? Because I feel like when I was just like starting now. To go to shows, this was not a thing at all. And now it's like
it was very
the only
recent.
Thing.
You know what? It started with after streaming, I would say. Because people would fall in love with these older albums or bands would notice that only one album of theirs in particular is being played back, and so then they would do a tour around that whole album and blah, 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 it became a thing.
It's lame. And so I did not pick a song off of that Built to Spill album. I picked a song off of my favorite Built to Spill album. And the song is called I Would Hurt a Fly. And it's very good. And it's they're one of the only like sort of jammier indie rock bands that I was into. And yeah, they're quite good. Very good guitar playing. They look like I could beat them all up. It's just good stuff. Darren, what was your pick?
First, I want to say Vince McMahon was Built to Spill.
Oh, gross.
I just recently had to. I love this movie, but I watched Little Shop of Horrors inside and out, backwards and forwards. I had to write a paper on it. Big, extensive paper dissecting this movie. Love this movie. As you know, the great Rick Moranis, Ellen Green, Vincent Gardenia, and so many other great stars. Steve Martin is in it. But the song I played was Mean Green Mother from Outer Space, which is the climactic number. That's all the action happens during this song. And the plant comes to life. Plant is played by Levi Stubbs of the Four Tops. Great voice. And also Syeda Garrett, I did not know, is a backup singer on this, who I love, Syeda Garrett. So she's in that. Great, great song, great movie. I feel like my brain is bulging with Little Shop of Horrors right now. I basically watched every scene probably 30 times backwards and forwards. So,
Give us a little bit of the title track.
Of the title track, Little Shop, yeah. Little Shop of Horrors is the Little Shop of Horrors. Now call the cop. You never stop the terror, little shop of horrors. Oh, no. Shingling, what a crazy thing to be happening. Look out, look out. Is that enough?
Yeah.
I think next month I'm going to be seeing that on Broadway.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I haven't heard about like any feedback from how that show is compared to the movie, but...
I've heard it's good, and I think one of the stars is going to be one of our favorites from RuPaul's Drag Race, Jinx Monsoon. Will be
the
performing.
Star being which?
I think she's playing Audrey.
Oh, okay, cool.
The Audrey, the woman, not the plant.
Who plays the plant? Oh, is it Mark Hamill? Oh no, Mark Hamill played the plant in the remake, the movie remake.
Oh,
I heard was horrible, but I didn't see it. I heard they took. They basically remade the movie in a darker tone. Like it's still a comedy, obviously, but like they emphasized the gore and the sci-fi element more than the comedy, which I think is a big mistake, but I didn't see the movie. Apparently it's got a lot of cameos too, like Adam Sandler and stuff like that. The original had a bunch of cameos. Christopher Guest is in it for like a few minutes and a few other people. Bill Murray plays the masochistic dentist patient that wants to get his teeth drilled over and over.
Classic. Steve Martin. Not a cameo, but legendary performance from him.
Oh, amazing.
By the way, Paul Barker is the ministry guy I was thinking of, not Baker. Oh, Barker.
And what does RIP stand for this week, Sid?
RIP is for Joe Flaherty, who passed away from SCTV and Freaks and Geeks. Just a great comedic character actor. So RIP to him. He's a delightful man.
Pat Zachary, too.
That's right. Former Met pitcher.
Traded for Tom Seaver. Yeah.
Not his fault.
Yeah, not at all.
And of Rob, course, do you have anyone who died that you care about?
Nope.
Did you kill anyone in BJJ with a chokehold?
No. Nope.
While shirtless?
That's why he ripped his shirt off. Ah!
God, I'm always wearing a shirt.
It was covered in blood.
Post-murder rage spasm.
You guys are so supportive. Thank you.
I feel like that's the support.
It is. It's not like we're saying you're the one who got murdered.
Yeah. I'm saying thank you.
Yeah.
Like turning into Will Ferrell in that SNL sketch in the newsroom where they just start going into Lord of the Flies. And just
murder. I thought you were going to say the one where he sucks his own dick.
What? What's that?
Isn't there a sketch where they're like in a yoga class and he like finally bends over enough that he could suck his own dick?
I don't know that one. How'd they show that?
He's just like tucked into his gi or his robe or whatever, and like all the way. He doesn't say sucking his own dick. It's just, I think it was Will Ferrell. Rob, help me out. It was like one of the, like the last sketch before the end of the episode kind of thing.
I know what I'm Googling after this show.
Well, if you need a little more live cast in your life, there's always our Patreon, patreon.com/RIP Livecast. $5 a month gets you access to 2 bonus episodes every month. And we got so much fun stuff. Over 4 years of bonus episodes, over 50 episodes, a whole year's worth. You watch one a week. We have watch alongs. We have roundtable discussions. We have listen alongs. We have our own Hall of Fame where we induct legendary moments and characters. And every week, Sid writes a TV column about what television programs he's watching and which ones you should be watching.
Yeah.
And our most recent watch-along was just posted at the top of the month. Cosmo, Queen of Melrose, we love him. And he's basically our new favorite character. He's in the banner now. He's in the banner. As you could see here, that's how much we love Cosmo. And
there's another new addition there too. You want to reveal that? Point that out. Two more.
Well, there's two more. That's right. There is Eric Adams right by the R, and right next right to Eric Adams.
Right by the Hall of Jets.
Which one is
the Hall of Jets of America?
Yeah. Which one is more repulsive? The Jets or Eric
Adams? It's a perfect pairing.
We have had Ozzy in the banner for quite a while, and I felt it was unfair. Because Ozzy has almost become a sideshow character to the main character of his story, Sharon Osbourne. So she gets the upgrade to the banner.
I'm sure she always saw it that way, but it's great that now we've caught up to her vision.
And I also want to say, I never noticed this before, but if you look at Mike Francesa's line of sight, he's looking right at Douglas Levison like, what the fuck is that? Or at the moral barometer. One or the other.
So we have a whole 1 hour watch along about Cosmo, Queen of Melrose. We learn all about him, how he grew up in New York, his crackhead parents, growing up in Harlem, his twin brother. A lot of crazy revelations. It was a very fun watch along. You could watch that. We have a watch along of No Holds Barred starring Hulk Hogan. Getting you in the WrestleMania season, and just a bunch of bonus episodes where we go through links that might feel a little too explicit for our YouTube show. So check us out, patreon.com/RIPLivecast. That's $5 a month. $10, get to be a top Livecast fan. Shout out at the end of the show, which is right now. How are we doing the shout outs? Maybe Darren sings it to the tune of Little Shop of Horrors.
I don't know. I think I whiffed on that last one.
I'll do it. Eric, Benjamin, and Dan are Mindy Mayers. Kippa, Shushushushushits. Lando Danks, LaCroix, DeCorey, and Scotty H. Aaron, Douglas, who are you? Levison, Gender and Randy, blat, 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 blat.
Very good.
There we go. I had it in my head, and I executed. Folks, thanks for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure. We'll be back next week. Until then, we love you. We kiss you. Bye-bye.
See ya.